Have you seen a coyote traipsing through your property or in one of the area parks or even just jogging down the street? Well, these encounters are somewhat rare but becoming more frequent in Washtenaw County and throughout southeast Michigan, even in our more urban areas. I'm David Fair and this is Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. My guest this morning is Bill Dodge. Now, Bill is a PhD candidate in Wayne State University's Department of Biological Sciences. And Bill, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, it seems to me that the increased sightings and coyote encounters was going to be inevitable because of habitat encroachment. Am I on the right track there?
To some extent, yes.
And you say to some extent, what would be the rest of that extent?
Yeah, coyotes are pretty resilient, and they've adapted to urban environments. So, you know, even though there is some encroachment on their habitats, you know, with development, things like that, they're pretty adaptable.
Move where the food is.
Yeah, they move where the food is, and they avoid people for the most part in developed areas. They become highly nocturnal.
Let's first alleviate some of the fears. Now, coyotes are going to take every opportunity to avoid human contact, won't they? And that's why they've kind of become more nocturnal.
For the most part, that's correct. Yeah, they'll avoid people as much as possible.
Are the concerns in the more urban areas then for pets and in the more rural areas for livestock among the human beings?
Yeah, there is some fear. Small dogs are probably the most vulnerable, although it's rare occasion where they will take one because, again, they're trying to avoid people unless, you know, there's a loose dog or something. Otherwise, they probably would just, you know, otherwise not touch the dog.
Anecdotally speaking, I have some friends in the greater Los Angeles area, and this has become a greater problem where coyotes are coming down into the suburban areas and taking away pets.
Yeah, it's a different situation in California. Here, coyotes have always been in southern Michigan. And so when cities started to develop, they were pretty much extirpated in the beginning. But coyotes probably were not totally extirpated, and they're starting to move back into these areas where they'd originally been. In California, coyotes have also always been there, but the population is much, much higher. The habitats are different. It's much hotter out there. And so the dynamics are much, much different between here and out in Southern California.
This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and we're talking Southeast Michigan coyotes with Bill Dodge. Bill is a doctoral candidate in Wayne State University's Department of Biological Sciences. Now, I've kind of guided us through some of the more obvious things regarding the area's coyote population. In your studies and your tracking of these animals in the region, have you found something that surprised you?
Not a whole lot. One of the things that we're interested in looking at is their feeding behavior, or their diets and foraging behaviors, and we're trying to make comparisons between the most highly urbanized areas and the more suburban areas. The only thing that we found so far preliminarily is it appears that coyotes in urban areas are feeding more on small rodents than they are in the suburban areas. But that's preliminary information. The other thing we're interested in. So if we know that, so is it just because they're eating more rodents, or is the population of rodents higher in urban areas than it is in suburban areas? That's one of the things that we're looking at right now.
Getting rid of the rodent population is something I think we can all be a little bit grateful for. But they have the power to take down a deer if they so desired. Are they feeding on any of the larger animals in our wooded areas?
For the most part, no. We do find them feeding on fawns in the springtime, and the fawns are pretty vulnerable. But for an adult deer, they're pretty dangerous. Coyotes aren't that large, ranging in size from about 25 to 35 pounds. So there's more food sources. Now we believe that they are feeding on roadkill deer, but it's really that's the kind of thing that's very, very difficult to determine.
Right, right. Now, you said they're not all that large. Are these the same kinds of coyotes we might see in the deeper wilds of northern Michigan or other parts of the country?
Yeah, they're pretty much, we've got the western subspecies in Michigan. There are, at some point, coyotes may have bred with wolves, and those are more in the northeast. But they're not that much larger than most of them that we've seen and captured were about the size of, if you think about a border collie. Not much larger than that.
Now, when you track these animals, you have radio collars on many of them, I assume?
Well, we did.
You did?
We trapped and radio collared about 8 of them. At this point, all of our animals have either disappeared or have died. So
really?
Right now, we're not tracking any of them. Yeah, what happens is a lot of these animals may have been dispersers. So within a family group of coyotes, if you're a young coyote, you've got several options. You could stay with the pack where we call them family groups typically because they don't hunt as a pack. They usually travel as individuals or pairs, and so that's how they hunt. They can travel long distances, and we're tracking them on the ground in automobiles, which is very difficult to track them. And so if they move 3 or 4 miles from where we captured them, and we haven't kept, you know, they can move pretty quickly in a short period of time, and so we can lose track of them. The other ones, the one we did have that we were tracking for 2 or 3 years got hit by a car last summer in June. So, yeah, right now we're not tracking any of them. They're difficult animals to track.
As a part of this study, were you able to spend any time near or around or by these animals?
Not really. We would hear them often, and we'd see them occasionally. We pretty much knew where a lot of them are because one of the other things we were doing is picking up coyote scat, which is coyote feces.
Right, right.
So we could figure out where they were, and that's how we can figure out what they're eating.
Based on the scatological findings, do you think that coyotes are contributing to the ecological balance in our suburban or near-urban areas?
Yeah, so coyotes have the potential to structure ecological communities through predation of rodents. We've talked about that to some extent. But also through competitive exclusion of what we call mesopredators, raccoons, foxes, skunks, those sorts of animals. So they have the potential to structure these ecological communities, and they also have the potential to limit or slow down the population growth of nuisance urban wildlife such as Canada geese through predation of nests, and also white-tailed deer through predation of fawns.
So they really have a value to us in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, they can't really lower the population of those critters, but they can potentially slow the population growth of those nuisance wildlife.
Once again, this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, talking with Bill Dodge, a doctoral candidate at Wayne State University. And what about us? Is it, in your estimation, important that we give coyotes the space and keep them as wild as possible and non-dependent on human food waste?
Yeah, exactly. Coyotes can be dependent. A lot of it's about the food for coyotes. For most wildlife, it is. But coyotes can become conditioned positively through food, access to human-associated foods. And then over a period of time, they can possibly become a problem coyote because they associate buildings and humans with food, and then they might start appearing more often during the day and things like that.
And how would you define a problem coyote?
Oh, coyotes are interesting because sometimes the mere sighting of a coyote can be considered a problem, which is kind of interesting.
Depends on who sees it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Some people enjoy seeing coyotes. Others might be fearful. And it's more through they don't know about coyotes.
Is the population of coyote in southeast Michigan relatively stable, or is it growing?
That's a difficult question to answer. There's nobody that's really keeping track of population size. We can look at hunting and trapping records as kind of an index of the population, not numbers, but to give us an indication if it's increased or decreased. It appears, looking at those records, that the population may have increased during the 1980s, but it seems to have stabilized.
Is there now or will there be a need for some more drastic intervention?
Not likely. Actually, we've tried for a century to try to control coyotes through, direct killings and things like that, and it hasn't worked. Coyotes have increased their population and range over during the 20th century, so now they're found throughout North America and even into Central America. So from my point of view, a better way to do any control coyotes is just leave them alone for the most part.
Well, you mentioned that you had been studying at least 8 coyotes, correct?
Yes.
And now all of those are gone.
Gone.
So where does your study go from here?
Well, right now I'm analyzing most of my data. We did collect a lot of data. We did trap small mammals, and we did what we call pellet plot surveys for eastern cottontail rabbits. So we're trying to figure out population sizes of those primary prey of coyotes. So we're looking at that. The other thing is, early on we just wanted to figure out where coyotes were, and that was through going to different areas, parks, because it's known that in urban areas, coyotes still require green space or open areas. And the one thing that we found, and so we were also interested in what their habitats were, one of the interesting things we found is that coyotes depend on wooded areas for this cover. We talked about that before. Cover during the day.
But so they like to live kind of on the fringe, correct? So they can come out into these open spaces.
What we also found is most of our scats that we collected were in, probably about 75% of the scats we collected were in what we call edge habitat.
Right.
These would be areas, transition zones between wooded and grassland areas.
So is there an avenue in which we can find out more about the coyotes themselves and the research you're conducting?
Yes, we do have a website. It's at semcrp.org, and there is a phone number to contact me. So if you're interested, you can contact me. It's also got a listing of upcoming programs because we quite often do public programs at schools and in other areas and in nature centers and things like that. So we've done quite a few of those. So if you're interested, those will be posted up on that website.
And, of course, we will contain links on our website when this interview is posted in the next hour or so. Bill Dodge, thank you very much for your time. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Bill Dodge, a doctoral candidate in Wayne State University's Department of Biological Sciences. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. It's produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and heard each Wednesday as part of Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.